Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as your friendly tech wizard and the former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the flannel wizard, yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Guten Tag. Schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 37th episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss Chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the Polyjuice Potion. Today, we have a lovely guest host who I got to meet on a collaborative discussion panel of the Rings of Power show on Watch Party and Fellowship of Fans. She was the best host and made everyone feel so comfortable and at the same time asked intriguing questions that it just had to invite this glowing personality to the cottage, especially after she mentioned that she's a huge Potterhead and would love to talk Potter with us on the show. Here is super host Jen from Watch Party, Lord of the Rings. Jen, it is an honor. I am so happy that you're here with us today and that you could squeeze it into your schedule as a mom and as a very busy person in general, because I got to know you through the podcast Watch Party, Lord of the Rings, and that was a collaboration with Fellowship of the Fans.
Fellowship, right? Of Fans, yeah.
Fellowship of Fans, which right. was amazing.
Oh, so, thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the cottage.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here. I was, before we started recording, I was just saying what a huge Harry Potter fan I am and have been for since my tween years. So I'm thrilled to be here. Love your show. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's so awesome because we love Harry Potter as well. And that's why we're here and that's what we want to talk about. But before we jump right into the chapter, we want to ask you a couple of questions. Just introduce yourself to our listeners real quick. Who are you? What are your callings in life? And how did you get into podcasting?
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm going to start with my house because I feel like that's really important. I am a proud Hufflepuff. Let's go.
I love that.
Good, because people, I think people love to hate on Hufflepuff, and it blows my mind because we are so, we have a lot of good qualities, you know. Yes, we're overshadowed by Gryffindor often, but we are loyal, we are fun-loving, we're like everybody's favorite furry friend over here. And, you know, we were right there, present and accounted for in the battle for Hogwarts, and I like to bring that up a lot when people say Hufflepuff is the worst house. And there are podcasters out there who have said this. My favorite podcast, Armchair Expert, the co-host hated on Hufflepuffs. And we fired back with a vengeance. So, you know, we're not all fun and fluffy. If you mess with us, we're gonna poke back a little bit. But anyway, So that's me. I'm a Hufflepuff. I am a podcaster. I have a podcast with my co-host, Michael Rowland. It's called Watch Party, Lord of the Rings. And we have been going for a couple years now. It's all reviewing the new Lord of the Rings series from Amazon Prime, Rings of Power. I'm also a mom. I'm also have a theater company called Berkeley Shakespeare Company in Berkeley, California. Mm-hmm. So that's what keeps me busy. But I'm just so excited to talk about Harry Potter because really this book, this series raised me. And I that's not an exaggeration. I grew up, you know, the generation waiting and waiting for the next book to come out and staying up all night in line till it dropped and getting the book and reading it ferociously throughout the night. This was how I spent my youth. And so, you know, these books are near and dear to my heart, especially this one, number two. And I have my original copy right here that I got when I was very young. Yeah. And so it was so fun to crack it open again and brush up because it has been many years since I've read this series. So this was a wonderful excuse to crack open the book and be instantly transported to my angsty little tween years.
Oh my goodness. This is so awesome. Everything you just said is so wonderful and just, you know, fits our vibes, fits our love for the series. And especially like you're a Hufflepuff and you're proud to be a Hufflepuff. And I love that because I think Hufflepuffs are the best. I'm myself not a Hufflepuff, not quite.
You're like 49%.
I'm a Ravenclaw, but I love Hufflepuffs. I think it's the best house. And have you seen Puffs, the play?
No, I haven't. And I need to. I mean,
you're going to lose your mind. Yeah. You will say, thank you for the reminder. You will be like, wow, that just made my whatever. I mean, like it's so... I put it off for years and our friends at Swish and Flick had like, they actually saw it and they're like, as you love this house so much, you're a Hufflepuff, you've got to go see it. And I put it off and then finally I watched it with Lottie and it changed my life.
It's so
I quote
funny.
It
it's
on the
made for fans. Yeah.
Okay.
Like hardcore fans. Because they have all the little things that they can pull out of the books about Hufflepuffs, they put in there. And you know, you basically see the story from their perspective. And what they're doing while Harry is doing his thing.
And think about right? You think about Chamber when all this stuff's going down with the Hufflepuffs. It's when they get to year two of that play, it's just you're rolling. You are literally dying. You're like, oh my God, this is hilarious.
I mean, so, I feel like I have to see this live. It's got to be live.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that would be, yeah.
I don't know if they still play
it. They don't do it anymore.
Oh, they have it on Amazon. They haven't recorded it.
Are you
so
sure
you can watch
it
on Amazon. I'm pretty sure.
That's a bummer.
But I don't think they still do live performances of that. I hope if they don't, that they come back.
Well, I will start the campaign to like bring it back.
Maybe Berkeley Shakes will have to bring it back. Maybe I'll.
Oh my God.
We will personally fly over and watch it. Anyway.
So Ezra, you're a Hufflepuff. This is so good to know. And you are a Ravenclaw. Also awesome. Mm-hmm. No Slytherins in this group. So we can just like sit back and relax.
Right. Exactly. We can chill. I mean, it's great. Even though Gryffindor, I mean, like the Gryffindors come in, God love them. And they're all, but they just sort of, I don't know. Their heads are this big. They can barely get through the door. Sorry.
It's true.
Sorry.
It's the truth. It's just the truth. We're humble Hufflepuffs here.
We are. Try to be.
Well, I'm in good company.
Yeah.
Do you think you have a second house?
When I did the test, Gryffindor was my second house.
Okay. There you go.
I'm a secondary Gryffindor, but
you have a good energy. You know what I mean? So I feel like that. That's cool.
They just
hate Gryffindors, and now he's like, "You have a good
energy." I gotta give him some credit. You know, I mean,
listen, my husband's a Gryffindor. Definitely. I think he's a Griffin Sliv. Like he's got a little touch of Slytherin, just like ambitious and very driven and wants to be the best. But all the rest is Gryffindor.
That's awesome. Nice. Love it. Like I love how Potter heads really every new person you meet, you would just instantly ask them, you know, what house they're in, but you know, you can't because you don't know if they actually know anything about Harry Potter.
I just assume the type of people I roll with know something, a little something about Harry Potter. They're the best people.
Right? So you already answered a couple of questions, which is great. Do you have a, so you said you really like Chamber, but is that your favorite book or do you have a different book that you would call your favorite?
I'm gonna say it's probably a tie between Chamber and Book Four. And man, it's so hard to pick, but I feel like the Triwizard Tournament was just such a compelling narrative arc for me. Yeah. And it was so dark and so gritty in a way that's, and so adult in the way that some of yeah. the others weren't in terms of, you know, Cedric Diggory dies.
Yeah.
And there's all this, it's sort of a turning point in the series, Book Four. And so I think that one's my favorite, but this one's a close second for me.
That's cool. Because nice. Yeah. Not a lot of people, when you ask them about their favorite book, not a lot of people say it's Chamber of Secrets, which is, it's a little yeah. underrated, right? It's a little underrated, I feel like.
I love Chamber for different reasons, which I've been joking about as we go through this. I mean, Gilderoy Lockhart, number one.
Oh my gosh, reason. Iconic.
Oh, he's wild. but yeah, a lot of people, even when it comes to the movie and you do like a rewatch, people are like, ah, come on. I'm like, I love it. I don't know what the deal is. It's Polyjuice Potion. It's just, it's fun.
Oh, it's so good. Mystery. And it's really what I love about Chamber is that the themes are so strong in this book. The theme of fear, right? Like fear mm-hmm. of the other. The Dursleys are so afraid of Harry. And
oh, yeah.
And the whole concept with the basilisk, it's scary. Like there's real mm-hmm. fear in sure. this story. His friends and people he knows are being picked off one by one and petrified. Right. It's a really, fear is just so prevalent throughout this book and confronting that fear, yeah. Which is what I love about it. And it is a lot more serious, I think, than the first book. You get much, much deeper into the themes that run all throughout the series. Harry really wrestling with his identity is, I think that emerges so strongly in this book, in Chamber of Secrets, you know, confronting, why can I speak Parseltongue? We're introduced mm-hmm. to Parseltongue for the first time. And wrestling with, you know, was I supposed to be in Slytherin? All these concepts really are prevalent throughout. So yeah, this book is 10 out of 10 for me. I love it so much.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. And I mean, like you said, I try to read it sometimes with the eyes of someone who's never read it, and you really don't know who it is. I mean, you can't really know, right? Because it's a totally different person. It's no one we have met so far, at least not the same person. So right. you kind of try to figure out, oh, could it be Malfoy? Could it be Harry himself? And he's just not really realizing that he's doing it.
Is it Gilderoy? Because Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers are kind of, you know, I don't know, like they tried to kill us last book.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the mystery is so good and the twist is so good. He never, yeah. you know, yeah, you never see it coming.
And so important, so many things that come up later in the series that we don't know yet that they're that important.
Yeah, like there's little hidden references that will happen later in the series or even in the book. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we could go forever talking just about how amazing the books are. Do you have a favorite character in the entire series? And then I'm going to ask a second question that's a little bit different. But first, your favorite character.
Oh, favorite character. This is hard. I mean, I'm going to say Hermione Granger, which seems mm-hmm. like the cliche answer, but I just love her so much.
Yeah.
And I have to say Luna Lovegood is probably a close second. I feel like I always identified with Luna Lovegood.
Okay.
She's a little bit out there, a little bit wacky and doesn't fit in. She's like spiritual in this really interesting way. And I just always thought she was such a genuine and endearing character. And a surprising character. And I love her portrayal in the movies, too. I think she was so well cast in the movies.
Yes.
But Hermione, I mean, she's just, she's so great. She's brilliant. And she used to annoy me when I was younger, just with the way that she was such a know-it-all. And then as I grew a little bit older, I realized what a serious badass she was.
Yeah.
So smart, so capable. Yeah.
They would have been screwed without her.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They couldn't, right. They couldn't figure anything out.
Yep.
Yeah. She carries them throughout, definitely.
Yeah. It, have you read Luna's or Ivana Lynch's book by any chance?
No, I haven't.
It's really good, but also really dark, like discovers really dark topics. So, you know, if she suffered a certain disease and she talks about it, and for some people it might be triggering, but it's super interesting to me how she experienced the whole like being casted and then being part of the crew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So
I didn't even know she wrote a book. You guys are just giving me so much awesome material to consume.
I feel like homework, and I'm sorry. Like, here you go.
No, it's awesome. Like this right is now. The type I love. This is the homework I want. Yeah. Yeah. Great pastimes.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll check that out.
If you get a chance. I know you probably don't have a whole lot of time, but.
Yeah, in your spare time while you're raising your children, just sort of, you know,
listen,
the books on the go.
Reading Harry Potter before bed, like I've been doing the past few nights, was like such a joy. Oh. So if I, you know, I'll replace it with watching this amazing play and also checking out her book. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Sounds good. You almost said it, but my last question for our guest is always, you know, you just talked about your favorite character, but what character you identify most with? So would that be Luna for you?
It's Luna, and definitely, once again, gonna be so cliche, Harry. Harry, I mean, Harry, I think everybody identifies with Harry to a degree, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's just so relatable. But I think the reason that I latched on to him when I was younger is that he comes from sort of a background of not being the most privileged, right? I mean, he's definitely, that's putting it mildly. He comes from a rougher upbringing. He feels like a fish out of water much of the time. He's in this new world. And, you know, there's so much expectation around him. And he's expected to perform and be this thing that he's just not sure that he can be. And that struggle, I think, always resonated with me in my youth. And in fact, has definitely resonated with me in adulthood as well. Struggling with identity, struggling to figure out your place in this world that feels unfamiliar. I'm a person who's moved around a lot and started over a lot in different cities. And so feeling like a fish out of water is just something that I feel like I've dealt with a lot. Starting over in brand new social circles, not knowing anyone, has been like a theme throughout my young adulthood life. So, yeah, wow. Harry Potter, the man himself.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome because I know that seems like such a cliche, but
we haven't had anybody say that yet. So that's actually, it's cool. I like it.
Sometimes I feel like people feel like they need to say something different than Harry, but I appreciate that you were brave enough to say, yeah, Harry is someone I totally.
Typically that protagonist is somebody you want to be super relatable to on a lot of different levels. And we get our most of the time with him, we see what he goes through. And so we connect him on different levels, different chapters, different things. So,
yeah, cool. I mean, I think that the brilliance of Harry Potter is that he is so very relatable. Everyone can find something that they like about him or that they resonate with about Harry. And he's just such a good character. His goodness always strikes you. Like in this book, for example, the way that he treats Dobby and the way that he treats those who are quote unquote inferior always inspires like such love for this character.
Yeah.
And I feel like J.K. Rowling really got it right with writing this Harry, because you really root for him, you know, throughout the entire thing. You love to love him.
Yes.
At the other end of the spectrum, the villains in this book, you love to hate them, right? You love to hate Malfoy, and the Malfoys are just so awful.
Yeah.
So she was brilliant at that.
Yeah, and like you said, he's so good, but at the same time, he has these relatable moments where, for example, Colin. Colin is, he's an innocent kid who just, you know, loves Harry, loves the idea of like following him, and Harry's just like so annoyed and can't, or he has, he shares his, even though we don't read him from a perspective, like, you know, we don't have direct insight into his thoughts, but often we, he describe, or his thoughts are kind of described, mm-hmm. and feelings, and that he struggles with certain emotions that he feels like, oh, he shouldn't have, or, you know, just right. certain teenage emotions that you go through.
It's angst. Normal. This angst. Yes. That's a good. Yeah, because he's like, this kid's like in his face with the camera, but also a sweet kid. And you're trying to like,
yeah,
figure it all out and everything. Doesn't want that type of attention. And then every time in this book, it's hilarious. Again, Gilderoy swoops in there, Harry. Come on, you know what, you get posing for pictures, and you're like, oh my god. This actually, the theme of this is like, so you were talking about how serious it is and all the different, the fear that's in it. Look at how many times Harry is in the wrong place at the wrong time, or like caught in the situation where you're like, oh my god, it's just bad timing all around.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, kind of funny, but then it also gets serious because they're like petrified. I'm like, oh god.
Yeah.
Yes. But. Yes. And that's such a relatable sentiment, especially in adolescence. You always feel like you're at like doing something wrong or caught red-handed or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
100%. Do you have anything you wanted to ask Jen on the fly here?
I'm going to, so at the end, well, I do want to ask Jen a couple more questions about, because I am so interested, like, you have such an interesting background. You were mentioning how like you moved around a little bit and stuff, because, you know, for me, I'm a teacher, and so I'm always interested in the paths that people take. I'm a high school teacher, so I'm interested in the path they take out of high school, where you go, where's life take you. And it's always so interesting to me, the kids who stay nearby, don't move around, who go into arts, who go into different fields. And I'm always kind of living through people too. I'm sort of like, what are you guys getting in? What are all these different careers and fields that you're going into? So I think it's fascinating. And then to think about, you know, the relating that back to Harry Potter, and how, just how out of your comfort zone, and how you grew up here, but then you move here, you enter this whole new world. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really neat. So I just find it, I think you have a really interesting perspective coming, you know, being, mm-hmm. having a background in theater and mm-hmm. and all that. I just think it's really cool. So more questions at the end when we talk about your podcast again, and I'm gonna
awesome
get up
that's
there, so.
Good. Well, then we're gonna throw out some other questions that are about Harry Potter, and I was gonna say Chamber of Secrets, but it's not just the chamber.
I didn't brush up on the others, so
don't worry. This is what we go through. I go through this every week, where it's sort of like, and people are kind of like, yeah. Because I read the series for years, loved it, grew up with it again, was the, you know, the releases right at Barnes & Noble. Everyone's waiting outside to get the book.
Barnes & Noble. That was me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wild. Loved it. It was cool.
Dressed up, too. I was dressed up. Were you dressed up?
You were on another level.
I took it on
I was a couple years older, so I was trying to be a little bit cool. You know, like, okay, I'm just here for the book, all right? I'm not, you know. Although Lonnie would have loved.
I'll send you a picture of me dressed up if you want. You could post it in your...
Please. Oh my goodness, that would be amazing.
Please,
right? You got it.
Man.
Awesome.
But yeah.
So no honestly, no worries. The first two questions are just kind of a warm-up thing. And then the third question, I'm interested if you guys know it, because I don't know if I would have answered it.
I will not know it, Jen, just so you know. I'm 50-50 on these. So. Okay.
Number one. Name the three tasks the champions have to face in the Triwizard Tournament in Goblet of Fire.
Okay. Goblet of Fire. This is my favorite book, so I better deliver. Okay, so they have to... This is when they're in the maze, right?
Yeah, the three... Okay. All three tasks in total.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the dragons. Mm-hmm. They have to defeat the dragon. They have to go get the egg from the mermaids.
Right. Yep, they go down and they grab their peoples, right?
Right.
Their people. Rescue their people. Thank you. Not the egg. Yep. The egg is what told them they need to do that. That's right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then
the third is to escape the maze. Get through the maze.
And
to the graveyard and then defeat the dark. No, that was part of the task, right? That was part of the Triwizard Tournament. Jaminy.
Just find the portkey.
Just get to the portkey. Yeah.
Get to the portkey.
Okay, cool. That was good.
Very good.
Awesome. All right.
Second question. What is the name of the location Hermione chose for an initial meeting with students interested in a Defense Against the Dark Arts club in the Order of the Phoenix? And bonus question, which location did she specifically try to avoid?
It was
okay. It's in Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Hogsmeade, and that's and she chooses the Shrieking Shadow. No, she chooses.
I don't know.
You don't.
I don't know.
You don't remember. Okay, so she chooses a place.
Is it the same as the movie?
Yes.
Okay, then it would be, what's his name's bar? What's his name? Aberforth.
Yeah.
yeah, right? Nice. The.
It's like
Hogshead.
Hogwarts, Hogsmeade, the Hogshead. Yeah.
Hogshead.
When in doubt, it's a hog.
Right?
She does this to me, Jen, and I'm like, I'm sweating. Why?
Oh. All right, we're getting warm. We're getting warm.
Okay, okay.
Have you been to quick question. Have you been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in
No, but my brother and his wife went there on their honeymoon.
Oh,
which I thought was awesome. I would totally go. Yeah, I'm going to take my kiddos. That's the goal.
Oh my gosh.
Old enough. A couple more years and we'll go.
Yeah, they can enjoy
it. I mean, we will too. Like our, you know, we don't have kids yet, but we will. If we have kids, we will take them there because we've been there last year. Last year.
Lottie had never been. And so I'd have been one time before with some friends and I was like, well, we got to go. Like we started a Harry Potter podcast like this. I mean,
yeah.
Pure. I mean, if that is all it took, if I had to start a podcast to get the permission, you know, to go down there, spend the money that we spent. My God.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Insane, we got robes and everything. We went crazy.
Good for you. Did you have some butterbeer and all that?
We
good stuff?
Did. We tried, I think, three different forms. We had the ice cream,
right?
The frozen and the regular butterbeer.
Yeah.
No,
color me jealous. Yeah. This is on my bucket list.
Yeah. You'll lose it. You'll love it.
I think so because it really looks amazing. You can ride the Hogwarts Express and you can dine in the Hogshead and the Three Broomsticks.
Leaky Cauldron,
right. So
my 5-year anniversary is coming up, so
ooh. Let's just get a little tell me where I need to send the pressure and I'll
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's wonderful. Okay, the last question. Like I said, this is kind of a hard one. But if you can give me your best
guess. These have already been hard. What do you got?
What form does Arthur Weasley's corporeal Patronus take? Any guess? Good guesses.
I just want to say, a weasel. I don't even know. Like, I'm guessing it would be because the Weasleys. Is that right?
Indeed, a weasel.
Is it really?
Whoa, bravo.
I was gonna say
I didn't even have a guess, so bravo.
I was just thinking like a dog or something.
Me too. I looked it up, it is a
weasel. Weasley,
because you don't see their patronuses very often. Like it's like you see it and then you mention it and you're like, okay, store that nugget away. Yeah, that's cool though. A weasel.
Love Arthur.
I love Arthur and Molly.
They're amazing.
And that's I love getting introduced to them more deeply in this book. I mean, we see the burrow for the first time in this book. And what I love about Chamber, too, is she introduces all these like world building elements that we keep returning to, as you said before, Lottie. And the burrow is one of those foundational places that you just love so much. And you can see it in your mind's eye so clearly when you're reading. Just such a warm, cozy family environment.
Right.
It's so lovely. Love the burrow chapters in this book.
Yeah, just a place you always want to go back to. We thought about calling our podcast Back to the Burrow. So there's someone still out there in need of a good podcast name, Back to the Burrow.
Just
is
love
still
the idea, the thought of it. You know, home, something cozy. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You could do t-shirts. I like that.
Oh.
T-shirts with the image.
Jen,
think about
for that gift there. We're just gonna take that. Oh, yeah.
Do it. Honestly,
we should. And then
I'll buy one.
Buy ideas.
We should start hitting Jen up for ideas for right.
I do have a podcast network. In fact, we are the Watch Party Podcast Network.
Oh,
three.
See, this is what I wanted to ask you at the end of the show. I got more to ask you about that because I wonder.
Yes.
I'm curious. I love.
All right, then let's get to the summary real quick so we can ask Jen more questions.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read the summary?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 12, The Polyjuice Potion. Harry, who found nearly headless Nick and Justin Finch-Fletchley, petrified in the corridor, is told to wait for Professor Dumbledore in the headmaster's office. Not sure what to do, Harry looks around the office and, to his surprise, he sees a sorting hat sitting on one of the shelves. He has been wondering lately why the hat almost put him in Slytherin and whether that meant Harry was indeed related to Salazar Slytherin. Harry can't resist and tries on the sorting hat once more. The hat confirms Harry would have done great in Slytherin House. Not exactly what Harry was hoping to hear. Suddenly, he hears a gagging noise and spots Fox, the phoenix. Then, to Harry's horror, the very ill-looking bird bursts into flames. Right at that moment, Dumbledore walks in. He explains to Harry that this behavior is completely normal for a phoenix and he need not worry because Fox is born from the ashes again. Dumbledore also assures Harry that he believes he is innocent and did not attack any of the students. He insists, though, if there's anything Harry would like to tell him, now would be a good time. Harry's mind is racing. There are a couple of things he should probably share with the headmaster, but once again, he decides to keep quiet. By the time Christmas comes around, Hermione has finished brewing the Polyjuice Potion, and after a marvelous Christmas dinner, the three are ready to set their plan in motion. Ron and Harry manage to retrieve hair from Malfoy's buddies, and disguised as Crabbe and Goyle, they make their way down to the Slytherin common room. There, Draco casually mentions to them that he is not the heir of Slytherin, and that he doesn't know who is behind the attacks. At least he reveals to Ron and Harry that his family is hiding valuable dark artifacts in a secret chamber at Malfoy Manor. This information is extremely important to Ron's father. With this knowledge, Arthur can help turn Lucius Malfoy in and gain his reputation at the Ministry back. When Harry and Ron notice, however, that they're beginning to turn back into themselves, they sprint out of the Slytherin common room back upstairs to Myrtle's bathroom. They can't wait to share the new information with Hermione, but Hermione still doesn't want to talk to them. When she finally dares to show herself, Harry and Ron understand why she didn't want to come along. Hermione has picked up cat hair instead of Millicent Bulstrode's hair, and now her entire face is covered with black fur, her eyes glowing yellow. Harry and Ron take her to the hospital wing, hoping Madame Pomfrey is not going to ask too many questions.
I mean, how could you not ask questions? That's sort of like...
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah. It's
sort of wild, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we want to get Jen's perspective first. What do you think about this chapter?
Oh, man, I love this chapter. Once again, like, so many foundational things introduced, like Christmas at Hogwarts, such a big deal. We all fantasize about the experience of Christmas at Hogwarts. But there's a lot of amazing reveals in this chapter. Like, for we've been suspecting up until now, this has got to be Malfoy. It's got to be Malfoy, you know, the heir of Slytherin. It sounds like something he would say, something he'd be fascinated by. And the reveal is that he's not behind it. And they only gleaned this information because they were in disguise as Crabbe and Goyle, brewing this Polyjuice potion. So it's, you know, we get a lot of tasty reveals in this chapter, but also, you know, it's a great cliffhanger because we're like, okay, we've eliminated one suspect, but where does that leave us? Like, right back to square one.
Exactly.
It's all been building towards this, them catching Malfoy in the act, but now we have nothing. We don't have a clue who the hell is behind this.
Yeah.
So great and juicy chapter. It's, I love when Ron, Harry, and Hermione get up to mischief, like the best mischief, the rules. Breaking the rules, but for a just cause is where they shine.
Yeah.
So that's right, you know, that's the forefront of this chapter. And it's just it's great. It's a great fun ride to be on.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see like Hermione. Well, it's so unfortunate. Cause I wish I could have. I mean, it's crazy that this happens. It's funny, right? That she turns into a cat and it's whatever. But like, I don't know, just imagining her actually getting to go through on this mission and being in the common room, I'm sort of like, it's just so bizarre because she's a rule follower, right? And she's all about like not getting expelled and everything. And then she's literally putting them in this crazy position where they sneak out a super advanced potion. Uh-huh. By the way, that's another thing. She's looking at the potion, and she's like, I'm pretty sure I follow the directions, etc. But she nails it. The potion is fine. It's just the hair, wrong hair, that goes into it. So it's just so impressive. Like you said, when they get up to mischief and Hermione's in the mix there, it just makes it so funny because you don't expect her to be. And she's the most enthusiastic about this. They actually, when this starts off, she's just like, let's go. And you're like, whoa, Hermione, where'd you come from? Right. It's awesome.
But she has a reason to, because, you know, she could be one of the next victims. Yeah. So
True.
Definitely the motivation behind that.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go back real quick to Dumbledore's office and to the host.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sorting Hat, because we talked about how this whole book is about Harry having doubts, and you know, he slams when he hears the hat telling him again he would have done well in Slytherin. He slams it back on the shelf like, no, you're wrong. What if the hat had told you should have been in a different house? Would you believe? You know, what does the hat here stand for, and what does Harry himself stand for when he says to the hat, no, because the hat is just reading your inmost, you know, your inner mind, your thoughts. So how would you have reacted if the hat had told you should have been in a different house?
Yeah. I mean, I love that she's depicting this struggle with, you know, facing your demons in a way, and choice versus fate. Are we destined for a certain fate, or do we get to choose who we are, how we behave, what our destiny is? And she's definitely playing with those themes with the Sorting Hat. And so I love the Sorting Hat as sort of this representation of free will versus destiny or fate. Just such a smart device there. And Harry continually struggling with that, especially now that he knows that he has a Parseltongue and can speak to snakes, and that's unusual and unnatural for a Gryffindor to have that talent. Him sort of wrestling with all of that is really, really powerful. And I think, you know, this is young adult fiction. I think it's anybody fiction, but many young adults, I think, really, really wrestle with, you know, those issues of identity and those issues of like, who am I in this world? I love all of that. It's just so juicy and so powerful.
Yeah, it's real. It feels like that. You're exactly right. I see my teenagers, high schoolers the whole time trying to figure out their way. Who do they hang out with? Which crowd? Who are they going to be? And all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he really does struggle with that. And then he's dealing with, you know, the idea, I think it's in this chapter again, where he thinks about Ron. He's hearing voices. He's, you know, mm-hmm. hearing the snake, right? But he, whatever. I mean, and he's like, he just feels so odd. He feels just like doesn't really know really where he knows where he wants to be and where but then he heard that little bit's lingering in his mind about mm-hmm. Slytherin, and then he's hearing stuff, and he seems to be kind of like, is he the heir? I mean, like, that's the whole big discussion. So,
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a neat moment that he gets a chance to go back to the hat and talk to it. Now, if that hat would have told me that I wasn't in Hufflepuff, we would have just had to do a redo until it said, all right, fine. This guy's persistent. He's not going to, no, he's loyal to his house.
Right. So that's right. Damn straight.
I know. So, you know, like, how did I have taken the test? What it was on? It used to be on Pottermore, and then it was on some Wizarding World.
Yeah.
I've always gotten Hufflepuff every time I've taken it, no problem. Mm-hmm. But if I ever didn't, I already knew full well going into it that I was like, no. But you know what's tough, Jenna? Switch gears here. When you take that test, I watched Lottie take her test in front of me, and I was like, okay, we gotta settle this. You know, you're 49. You want to call yourself 49% Hufflepuff? Are you Ravenclaw? As she's answering the questions, I've said this before in this podcast, they're literally, the first question was like, do you like food? The second one, do you like food? Third one, do you like, it was like, all food. And I'm like, she's a Hufflepuff. I was like, they're going to call it, it's going to be a Hufflepuff. And you can't count on that, because whatever it was, I so thought you were answering honestly, and it went Ravenclaw. And I was like, oh my God. So the test is pretty.
It's powerful.
It's got, it is. Yeah, there's yeah.
something. It's powerful to it. And it's dead accurate. I mean, I think it's more effective than some of the personality tests out there, right. You know, frankly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, workplaces should be utilizing this.
Yeah. I was going to say, can we make that a new thing?
I mean, we would have, you know, we would have a better understanding of the workplace if we understood which house we should, if I were the boss, totally. Like, yeah, we're getting divided into houses. I want to know who I'm dealing with here. And I would know that better through which Hogwarts house you're in. So.
And who will play well with who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
true.
We should
true.
Be collaborating. Yeah,
right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you
all the name of productivity.
And do that when hiring new teachers. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. yeah, but okay. Back to the book.
Yeah,
I love also the birth, the death, and rebirth of the Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah,
yes.
And this was the first time I was introduced to the Phoenix as this mythical creature. I mean, through Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
And yeah, go ahead.
We're good.
Yeah. Well, his initial thought is, this bird looks ill. The worst thing that could happen right now is just it dies right here, and I'm the only one in the room. And literally, he bursts into flames. I thought that was kind of hilarious in a bad way for Harry, but it was just great.
Yeah, for a moment, you're sort of like, this guy can't get a break, and then thankfully, Dumbledore's so chill about it. That's why we love him, right? He's just like, you know, you caught him on a bad day, right? It's a burning day, so he'll be back. He's fine.
But this exchange between Harry and Dumbledore. I mean, every exchange between Harry and Dumbledore is pure gold in my mind, because that relationship is at the crux of this series. Yeah. But that moment when they're in the office and Dumbledore comes in and he says in so many words, he doesn't say this verbatim, but he says, I believe you. I don't think you did it. I believe you. It's such a powerful moment, because Harry's always feeling cornered. He's always feeling like there's all these elements working against him. And there are throughout the whole series. But this one adult, this one, you know, person, authority figure saying, I believe you. That's all that matters. You know, and it's a game changer for Harry.
Right.
And so I just love that, because we know, because we've read the series, we know there's so much that's implicated in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just anyone. Like you said, it's the headmaster. And last year, they already kind of built a little relationship, and he knows he can trust him. And then Dumbledore knows that something is bothering Harry, but again, he gives him the choice to tell him, even though he doesn't like make him blurt it out or anything. I was wondering, though, when I listened to the chapter the second time, if he in that moment, because Harry's going through all the things that are going on in his mind, if Dumbledore right now in that moment is reading his mind, you know, because we know Dumbledore has the ability, doesn't he? And I was wondering.
I always think I just kind of think Dumbledore just knows all. I'm always sort of like, I don't know how he does it or what the deal is, but he does for some reason know everything. He is really into it. He can definitely tell Harry's holding something back, and he's sort of like, yeah, what is this thing? And the door is open. The door is open to say something about it. And then he doesn't. He's growing, right? And so as the series grows, he's more likely to share more with Dumbledore. He's still struggling. As Jen, we were talking about, like, moving into this new wizarding world. And you're like, oh, Ron just told me this is a big no-no. And he doesn't really understand as a kid, like, my best mate just told me, don't be sharing that with anybody. So then he's wrestling with that. And then, you know, Dumbledore's trying to open the door for him. But he's just, like you said, he is – all these moments are peak. Because you get to this, like, you're in the headmaster's office. This is the wizard of wizards, and he's there also with the chosen one. You know, it's the boy who lived. Yeah. So two of these guys are sitting down, and it feels really epic. I can't explain, but not like a whole lot was shared. You just feel like you always want more. I always want more of their dialogue and their conversation, and there's just enough to be like, okay, that's good now, and we'll get a little more later, and so on. Yeah. So,
yes. Great. Yes. Oh, good. It's so good. And back to your question, Lottie, I feel like it's not within Dumbledore's character to read someone's mind unless it's absolutely necessary. Like, that's more of a Snapey trait to just read someone's mind. But I feel like he is, as you said, Ezra, highly intuitive and perceptive. Right. Wizard. And so just giving that space for Harry to, you know, unload or chat or talk, that's also just so wonderful, because teenage Harry just needs that so badly, even though he doesn't do it. He's given the space and the opportunity to do it. And so, you know, it's sort of emerging that Dumbledore is his parent figure, his father figure, like the paternal figure that he's missed his whole life. Dumbledore is just now in this chapter, I think, emerging as that a little bit playing that part for him.
Yeah, and you mentioned, so this throughout the series, there's a lot of things Dumbledore could do, right? And even like McGonagall at one point talks about, like, some of the dark arts stuff, and he's or maybe that was even the first, but he just chooses not to be that type of wizard. He could do all those things. He could go crazy. He is so powerful, but it's the choice, as we've been talking about, to just be who he is. And so
that, even after some life experience that we don't know if we're going to learn everything, you know, that happened in the Fantastic Beasts series. we don't know if it's ever going to come to an end, the movies. But I love the mystery that still, after the series has ended, still surrounds Dumbledore with that last conversation. You know, all the conversations now are leading up to that last final conversation with Harry that is so, so amazing. And everybody quotes it all the time. And he's just definitely someone who almost, like, you know, when he comes in, you feel safe. You can't help yourself, but you feel safe. Just like when Aslan, when Gandalf, when all these people show up who have that presence that give you the peace of mind, the safety, and you know, they're, you know, like Hermione, they're badass, but they're on a good type of badass. Like, they fight evil.
Yeah.
So
that's the kind we like.
Yes.
Yes. It's like power, but contained power. There's a self, there's a wisdom, and a restraint that comes with the, you know, the wisdom of experience. You're exactly right. And a safety, that's at the core of Dumbledore and why he's just so beloved and iconic. Yeah.
So I just, if this is okay, I'd like to throw a curveball in the conversation, because we've been hitting some serious, you know, like, this is, I actually love, like, Jen is super into Harry Potter. I can tell she, like, knows that she's, like, down, like, to explore, you know, explore the themes. So things that, little hidden gems in this, we were listening. I was just listening on the way back from work, and I totally forgot. This is just to change it up a little bit, a little more humorous. As they go into the Slytherin, is it okay to bring this up right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do it.
Because I just want to see if Jen remembers. I'm sure she does. They're going to find, you know, they've taken the Polyjuice potion, and they're going downstairs. They're going down to the dungeon to try to find the room, the common room, Slytherin common room. Mm-hmm. And they see this Ravenclaw student walking up, right?
Oh,
like,
yes,
walking
yes.
past, and unnamed. Not, you know,
it's like, hey, I'm a Ravenclaw.
I'm a Ravenclaw. What were you doing coming down to the, you know, you're, what are you doing down here? And then they keep walking by, and lo and behold, Percy shows up. And so Percy, you're like, what is her name again? Penelope?
Penelope Clearwater.
Clearwater. So those two
Ravenclaw
are dating, and she just leaves, right? So they've been like courting. I was laughing out loud. I was like, hold on a second. Hold on. Because I kept saying to Lottie, I was like, play this back. Are you saying that they just literally walked in on some snogging? I mean, that had to have been snogging. They had to have been.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
Such a good catch. And like all these wonderful teen themes in here, like secret romance, you know.
Yeah. And like they're staying over Christmas, you know, because the teachers need my moral support.
Yeah.
Percy, they don't need. You are there because she is there. It is just so, it's like, you don't need to say it, but like, as you get older, you read it. I don't know. Like I'm just thinking about doing a read through again. I'm like, whoa.
Because yeah.
I'm trying to get
I never
all the little...
caught that. It just clicked just now. Never caught it.
And it's like he comes out of a side room and everything. And like Harry and Ron, I mean, no one puts it together, and you're not even really meant to. It can happen
later
like
you...
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's this series is meant for a reread. You're meant to go back and
absolutely
discover all the little details, because that's the theme for Percy. That's the theme throughout this book for him, that he, you know, he writes to this girl and then he keeps an eye out for Ginny. But I read earlier on a forum, well, because Ginny knew about Penelope and she kind of had him, you know, hey, if you step out of line, if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to tell everyone that you have a girlfriend. And don't want Fred and George to know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the twins would just, they're already teasing him like crazy if they found out about this. It's just like, and so to see them sneaking down there, like near the Slytherin, it's just wild. Not near either one of their common rooms, right? So you're nowhere near Ravenclaw or Gryffindor. And I just thought, this is genius. And it just made me laugh because, I don't know, I'm a high school teacher again. And, you know, I don't even want to go there. My gosh, we had a little... we had to remove lockers because we had something called Locker Island where kids were just, you know, couldn't get a queer, you know, clear sight on them. And I'm like, they're in there. Keep some distance, people.
Lord. So much like testosterone and hormones flying around. Like, God bless you high school teachers. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, it is wild. Every day it's wild. But it really made me laugh because I was thinking like, oh my God, you don't need to say a word, but as you read it and you get older, you're like, that's exactly what's going down. You know, it's exactly who that
this
was.
This is like 100%. Peak high school behavior. Right. And like the lengths that they're going to hide it is just so funny.
Right.
As if it would matter that much like to an adult if you're like, oh yeah, you're dating. But like for high schoolers, there's like, oh my gosh, all these repercussions. We can't. Our secret romance. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So funny. And good catch.
They're both prefects, right? Aren't they both?
I'm not sure if she is, but probably. Yeah.
I think she is. But yeah, I mean, again, they got their privileges. So they got the prefects, you know, wherever they're allowed to go in and out.
Right.
So, geez, these two are something else. But anyway, and our listeners know, like, Ez is kind of rowdy. And I caught that and was like, oh my God. But anyways, sorry.
This chapter's got it all. It's got it all.
Well, and this is why I like this book so much, because you have everything from all those like, you know, dealing with fear, dealing with like this growing
very
fear.
Serious
serious stuff, right? And then you have the comedy with Gilderoy. You've got this little stuff.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. To me, it's just, it's got everything. And I think it's great. I think it does so much for the series. Sorry, we're back to talking about the book in terms of the whole series. But like, you have the first one, which is a great setup. And then this book just, once you start this one, it is just jet fuel into the rest.
Yeah.
Because you can die. A series can sometimes die in that sequel.
Right.
And this did not. Yeah. It like took off.
It elevated the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
So
cool. Off to the races after this one.
Yeah.
There's one little thing that I caught, and I don't think I've ever thought about this before, because I saw the first movie before I read all the books, so my imagination was already kind of spoiled. I never caught that. I don't think they have the house emblems on their robes, because a couple of like in the book, it's just a movieism that we, you know, it's kind of sad to me when I realize that, because they don't know she's a Slytherin, she's a Ravenclaw when she, you know, they don't see that.
That's
just
true.
Has
she
robes.
Identifies herself.
When Crabbe and Goyle I was wondering, why do they only steal their shoes and not their Slytherin robes, you know?
She's got larger robes.
She said, I just went to the laundry and got larger robes. Not Slytherin robes, but just larger robes because they are both bigger than you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was like, oh, I guess they don't have like house
I don't know.
Robes.
I've never really paid much. Yeah, in the book, maybe. I'll tell you right now, I am super glad that they changed that for the movie and that we got, you know, because that is the coolest thing that they have house colors.
Yes. So. And it would get so confusing if they were all uniform. It makes sense in the book that they wouldn't, because that could be even more divisive, you know, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so glad for the movie. We have that kind of visual cue. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, the Hufflepuffs are, you know, old Justin's over there and he's you know, just you can understand where the alliances are and everything. It's it's a good way to do it. And merchandise wise.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great.
Great
idea,
call, because you suckered us in and we love our robes. So.
Oh, totally. Yes. I love my scarf. I have a scarf. I have a hat. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
You're awesome.
So one thing I definitely wouldn't want to miss from the movies, it's always whenever I read the books. Sorry, but I imagine them having, you know, house on there.
The regalia, The movies are great. I mean, I love the movies for what they are. People have their complaints, obviously, but I enjoy them. I usually watch, you know, the last few every year. So
All right, so they're down. In the dungeon.
Yeah.
So they're in common room. Malfoy luckily found them. And then I can't remember. We don't have to discuss this now. Like, why did Malfoy stay at home for the holidays? Why would his parents not want him? Was that on purpose? Did Lucius tell him?
Well, it could have been because of all the raids that were going on.
That's what I was going to say. Their dungeon got raided. He's sort of in the back and forth with the ministry. That was what I thought. He probably wanted to keep him far away from it keep him away from being associated with any of that.
Right. Because kids say stuff like, listen what he just said in front of Crabbe and Goyle. Like, okay, you don't need him, you know, messing something up or saying something or being braggadocious and thinking, because it seems like they've enabled him a little bit to feel like he can say whatever he wants, whether it's ministry or not. And then you sort of get in the real world and it's sort of like, oh, hey, don't say anything. Yeah. Actually, I know I pretend like I have all this power and the ministry can't touch me and I can, but they can. So you wouldn't want him there kind of spoiling that. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then it blew my mind again, something you only catch on a reread, when Malfoy reveals to them, I'm going to quote this here. Luckily, we've got our own secret chamber under the drawing room floor. And that's why they kept later in Deathly Hallows all the prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
Like Dobby, Griphook, Ollivander, Luna, Ron and Harry. That must be that secret chamber.
It's their own secret chamber, you know?
Or they more than one, but I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think it's neat when you set up little nuggets like that, like things that you plant those seeds, and whether they all grow or not, like it's something the author can use later on. I just think it's clever and really, really kind of cool to have those there. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are just like such perfect villains, that whole family, because we all know the entitled kid who's the rich kid whose daddy bought everybody on the team a new broom. You know, we know that kid and we all hate that kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says some awful things. Malfoy.
Oh, he's so racist, right? Yeah. That's the thing. We get introduced to mudbloods, the term mudblood. Like, we don't know what that is until this book. And then, you know, it's like the racism of the wizarding world, like so insidious and so terrible to hate someone based on what, you know, something they have no control over.
Yeah. And I think when they're going into, because we had to back up in the chapter and I had to listen again to, they're going in and I think they have a password, right? Is it pure blood?
Pure blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going like on the wall. And I'm like, wait a second. Because it's just kind of cool seeing how they enter the, I'm like, who determined the password? You know what I mean? I don't know. Like Snape in charge of that? Because
Snape is a half blood.
Well, I'm thinking maybe even some of the prefects or somebody like, might have been able to determine that, because it probably changes, because they didn't know. He's like, what is it again? And then he asked.
I like the idea that the prefects have something to do with
it. Yeah, I would go with that.
It just makes sense. I don't think a teacher would, you know, that just wouldn't be the, but anyway, yeah, that was like their password. And it just reinforces that whole idea that we're learning about blood bloods and pure bloods and the whole thing. And it's just like super crazy. And I'm sure it's not every Slytherin. And we only get this,
right,
this small little, because there are people who are in Slytherin. They're like, hey, that ain't our people. All right. Yeah. There's, you know, and I like, but they are in general. I mean, this is a kid's story. And so you had to have the house that's kind of mean and, you know, they're kind of, they're the team we're going to fight against. So, but yeah, crazy though.
I can't wait to explore all the common rooms in Hogwarts Legacy, the game that's going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
In a little bit.
Ooh, yeah. The visuals are going to be so awesome. Yeah.
It looks stunning. So, can't wait to explore that. Anyway, any other like takeaways from this chapter? Otherwise, we're gonna keep it a little shorter this time, which is fine because you can always send us an owl. And if you have any additional thoughts on this chapter, please let us know, and we will talk about them next episode.
Yeah, yeah. Because for me, like in general, the whole like Jen has mentioned a lot of this. It's just like the serious tone, the more serious tones, and then mixed in with some comedy, which I'm loving.
Yeah.
The conversation with Dumbledore is epic. And I just keep thinking like poor Harry is just in the wrong place at the wrong time all the time.
Yeah.
The Hufflepuffs are suspecting him. I mean, these ghosts are getting, a ghost gets petrified in the last chapter. Right? You know, like what the heck? I mean, this is just, it's on another level. And so, yeah, it just continues. There's such a good rising action or this good build. And then you're like, all right, we got it. Like Jim was saying, we're going to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Nothing. And we're back to square one. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's good. It's got a really good energy to it. And Christmas.
Yeah.
So
can't be Christmas. Yeah. Once again. Yeah. It's an excellent, I think we're basically, it's a partway chapter, a little less than partway. Or no, a little more than partway through the book. So I think for where it's at in the book, it's perfectly situated to keep that momentum going, keep the mystery alive. And, you know, now I'm going to finish just reading this book because I read this far. So I'm going to just do another reread through because I'm almost
That's
done.
So awful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a page turner for sure. So thank you guys for like giving me a reason to crack it back open. It was so fun.
Oh my goodness, thank you, Jen. Like, I cannot tell you how happy I am that you decided to come to our podcast and just
be
a guest. And you're just such a joyful spirit. And I just, you know, it's so much fun talking to you. And I wish we had like another 3 hours to talk about Harry Potter. And
I tell you what, like at some point, no pressure, 6 months, a year from now, whenever you see Puffs, you like, let us know and we will do.
It's going to be like, 6 hours chat. From now.
Okay. Because I just love that you're a Puff and you're gonna get to go watch Puffs, and I just think it's mind blowing. It's awesome.
I'm so excited, you guys. Like I'm like thinking in my mind, like what glass of wine am I gonna have?
Oh, when I was gonna say, yes, you got to.
I can't wait. Like probably tonight. So I'm gonna chat you instantly.
Good.
Please.
Jen, I also want to mention too. So like I said this before we started recording, I wanted our listeners to kind of know. So when Lottie was on your podcast, it was so cool to hear you on there moderating that panel. If anyone has seen Rings of Power and you want to check this out, they've got the lore discussion. You guys had like a newbie panel where you broke down a lot of the Second Age Lord of the Rings stuff. And it was really cool. I actually have been here in the future. I'm going to go listen to the lore panel so I can kind of like hear how, you know, what was all kind of going on. But I just thought it was so cool. I was always sitting over here on the side and I was just sort of listening to you moderate that, and so I feel like I've talked to you but I hadn't, so it was just like really cool to have you on here and you just have such a good spirit. So
thank you guys, and likewise, I love your podcast. I love that you're a husband and wife duo podcast. Like you just have wonderful chemistry. You're naturals, and I'm gonna recommend this to everybody I know, so I'm happy to blast this out on my socials and keep doing what you're doing because it's just so fun to like go relive and re-experience these books and movies with you guys. So just you know fantastic, and yeah, it's great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah, I'll come back anytime.
Awesome.
That's good to hear. Yes, we want you.
And we will put like links down to your podcast and everything. We'll throw all that down there because I think folks need to go check that out. Wanted to ask you too. You are so the thing that was interesting. I co-teach some English classes and we do Shakespeare plays. Are we like read through some of them? So which ones have you guys, just real quick before we let you go, Yes. Do you guys actually run through some of the, like, which plays, I guess, do you perform, or do you, is it only Shakespeare or different stuff?
Well, we only do Shakespeare for now. That may change in the future, but we are a fairly new company. So thus far, we've done Macbeth, Much Ado About Nothing, and Twelfth Night. And we are working on our 2023 season announcement, which is going to include some classics, some real crowd pleasers. I can't tell you yet. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
We haven't officially decided. We have a lot of pitches from different directors. We have a musical pitch for a musical adaptation of one of Shakespeare's very famous plays, for A Midsummer Night's Dream. And so we're putting together a 2023 season, so stay tuned. But yeah, it's so much fun. It's a really enthusiastic group of people here in Berkeley, seasoned actors who decided to start a theater company and are really passionate about Shakespeare. So
yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. I looked it up. I went and looked up your site a little bit. And so, again, we'll leave links down there. I would love to come out at some point. And
I was going to say, anytime. You guys get comp tickets, any show you want.
Whoa.
Where are you guys at again? Remind me.
Yeah, Ohio. Midwest.
Yeah,
you're
near
in Ohio.
Columbus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
awesome.
We are travelers. So, Lottie being from, I mean, Jen, I used to only just be, you're telling your story about how you sort of, went out and have moved around and just, you know, right. I have always been in Ohio, central Ohio. And then I meet this young lady and I am like, and my spirit was already like, we got to go somewhere. We got to get out of here. You know? And so it matched. And I have now been, I'm international. I am like all over the place. I am good at flying places. I know how to book like cheap flights. I just feel, I don't know. It's so cool. So if you get the chance and you're, the chance to travel, I always encourage people now just to like, go to another country, get out there with this.
Absolutely.
Big, beautiful country here too. And it's just like, so we definitely will come out and try to get to a play.
Please come.
Awesome.
I mean, come to California's, I mean, the winter is like beautiful here. So anytime you need an escape from that cold, you just get on over here. It's pretty lovely.
And I know we have a couple listeners in your area. So if you're in the area, go check that theater out. It's Berkeley, right?
Berkeley Shakespeare Company. Yes, ma'am.
Please go there and support Jen and her team because they're awesome.
Thank you guys. I've actually been to Ohio a couple times. My band that I toured with in my 20s performed there. Wow. So,
Jen, who are you? Jen?
You know what? Midwesterners are the nicest people on the planet. It's not a cliche. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I've met, I've met y'all and I've met the Southerners too. And they're nice, but they're more like nice, nasty. And you guys are just genuinely nice.
We're genuinely nice. I abso-freaking-lutely. And most of us here, there's a lot more Hufflepuffs around here. People don't realize it, but I'm looking around.
I believe it completely. The Midwesterners are the Hufflepuffs of the world.
Right. Aww. I mean, also remember too that Ohio is the heart, right? It's the heart of the United States. All right. So there you go.
Oh, that's true. I like that.
Oh, we're just patting ourselves on the back over here, No big deal. Yeah, thanks again, Jen.
It was such a delight. Is there anything else you want to plug? Any family members you want to say hi to?
Hi, Mom and Dad. No. I just want to say, I'm in awe of how many different podcasts you guys have. So I'm like wildly impressed that you do all of this, and just congrats. And I'm watching you. I'm watching. And I'm excited to see, what you do.
Yeah.
And I wish
we're
all watching success.
We're watching you too. And I love that. I love meeting other people who do content creation or the theater thing. And I kind of have that spirit. Lottie has this spirit, and it's just, it's fun to meet those people sometimes I have so much, creative spirit, whatever you want to call it, that it's like, too many different projects. I had to trim them down and say, these are the ones we're going to focus on here.
I hear you, brother.
Wow. It gets a little crazy. So
I hear you. Yeah. Well, all the best, guys. And thanks again.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate you.
And I'll be in touch once I see Puffs. I'll be in touch.
Yes. Good.
Sounds wonderful.
And that was a lovely Jen Gallagher. Thank you so much. She is she's such a wonderful spirit.
I know. It was good... We had such a blast. Thank you, Jen, again for coming to our show.
We got good.
It's definitely not the last time.
Good energy, good vibes, and yeah, she's wonderful. Hoping to fly out to see a play sometime.
That'd be awesome.
So yeah, honestly, if you guys get a chance, we'll put links down in the description for all of her stuff. So be sure to check that out. But friends, that is all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you will join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people. Don't behave like babbling, bubbling bins of baboons.
Baboons.
Positive Potter people like Jen, by the way. Mm-hmm. So there you go. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons, I learned. We appreciate you to the moon and back. Also, we still have our giveaway going on. So if you want to win Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix, the illustrated version, leave us a review on Apple. And once we have the first 50 reviews, we will draw maybe your name. So make sure you leave us one. We appreciate all your support. Next time, we will talk about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 13, The Very Secret Diary. Make sure to tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Again, thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.